Hello and welcome back to the Mindful World Summit. I'm Dr. Stacy, and I'm so excited for our next guest. Jennifer McLean is an energy healer who has guided tens of thousands of people from around the globe to a state of transformation through using her techniques of mobilizing energy. She's come up with a special technique called the spontaneous transformation technique that's incredibly effective. And she's here today to talk to us about energy, all things energy, how we can mobilize it to facilitate transformation. Welcome, Jennifer, to the summit.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome being here, Dr. Stacy. I'm just really delighted to play with you and your audience. You guys have created something really, really special here, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
We are so excited for you to be here because you have this other way of understanding healing, understanding how it works. And it's, you know, things that people aren't necessarily very educated in, including myself. So I've got a ton of questions. But, you know, as I go through your website, I do also appreciate that you're somebody who's walked the walk, that you have survived so much in your life. And I'm just curious, because I'm always curious about how people get to where they are. And how did you go from, you know, surviving abuse, bullying, the battle with cancer, to becoming the healer you are today?
You know, it's funny because most of us move when we're in pain, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I believe that one day will come when we don't have to be nudged by pain and suffering in order to make change in our life. But I think I came to this planet with the intention of really evolving my soul. That's my belief, that I came here with a big mission to understand the things that we're going to be talking today about today and sharing them with individuals and helping a lot of people, as many as I can, to understand that their life has a purpose. And that it isn't necessarily just about health, wellness, and the best perfect relationships. It's in fact not about perfection. It is about having this amazing adventure that actually is something that allows us to evolve as humans and evolve the human species itself. So I believe that I came here to play and experiment and have an adventure. And when I look at my life that way, there's more grace and elegance in it. It doesn't mean that life is going to stop showing up for me in all its craziness. It's just that my perception of it is no longer crazy. It's just, oh, that's what is. And I'm going to play with that now. Okay, here we go.
Absolutely. Woman, you are speaking my language. I am so on board with what you're saying. And I know that personally, and as well as with the clients that I've had the opportunity to work with in the worst times of their lives, there's a different level that we're being challenged to embrace, and that mindset changes the game. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, I've often thought of it as I won the lucky ticket to the roller coaster that is this lifetime, and all of us are here as lucky winners that we went on the best roller coaster of all time, because the planet's definitely at an evolutionary tipping point. I mean, you look around you, you can see lots and lots of evidence that it's a little bit wacky out there. And so many of us who are here, we're here for a reason. We chose this time. And I think there's a whole lot of people waiting in the wings that are like, oh, I really wanted to be there. And so the opportunity for us is to actually claim that now. Instead of moving through our life with this energy of victim, of it's too hard, of it's really stressful, we can actually choose a different path. Now, sometimes it's hard to just choose it. And I think that's why many of us are being compressed these days, because it's actually not just about choosing, it's about healing. It's actually about identifying the things that are deep in the subconscious, that are running the show by proxy. Something that happened to us when we were 5, 7, 9, 12, those things are, and the beliefs that we formed in those moments of upset are running the show now. The moments of upset where we actually repressed emotions to survive. That's a big part of my healing system, is that we repress emotion in order to get through. If we were angry, as we should have been, if we were sad, as we should have been, if we were upset, as we should have been in a moment of upset or trauma, it probably wouldn't have been safe, right? So we repressed it. And that was a sound strategy for many of us, especially those who have had abuse. We repressed it in order to survive. And that was a good thing. And yet, those repressed emotions are running the show. And that's in part what I figured out because of all the things that I went through, as you said, all created a push, a nudge from my soul itself to say, wake up, wake up. And understand what's happening. Go to the core and heal and transform and what I call unwind these old traumas so that they are no longer running things and you get to just be you. Unfortunately, sometimes we think that we are we, but the we is a lot of repressed stuff. The we is a lot of coping mechanisms and pretzeling to avoid those repressed emotions, to avoid that original trauma. And so we do crazy, wacky things as a result. There's a story I tell. Is it okay if I share this story?
Yes, please.
Okay, I just want to make sure you didn't have any questions. I can really talk the entire time without you breathing.
Okay. Okay.
So I usually tell this story when describing this mechanism of what's happening in our life as there's, just imagine there's a little boy and he just had the most amazing day at the skate park. Like he landed a couple of things that he'd been trying for months. He played with his friends. He laughed, belly laughs. It was a beautiful summer day. It was just perfect. And so he's walking home with the skateboard under his arm and he finds this great stick. Yay, a stick. And he starts thumping it against the fences as he's walking home. He's creating a beat and he's bopping along to the beat that he's creating. And again, just another magical moment in this magical day. What he doesn't realize is there's a low picket fence and it has indents. So it's particularly cool to bop along. So he does it extra hard and extra long. There's a dog in the yard. It completely riles him up. The collar breaks. It's a big dog, jumps over the fence. And now the kid drops his skateboard and he's running for his life now. He went from bliss to running for his life. The dog grabs his pant leg and he falls and skins his knees. But the owner and a neighbor grabs the dog just in time. The kid gets up and just runs home to his mom. Now his mom's in the kitchen dealing with his six other brothers and sisters. And there's trauma all the time. And so he walks in the door. She looks him up and down and said, he's alive. That's good enough for me. She doesn't give him any space or any comfort. He's crying. She notices that his skateboard isn't with him and she starts yelling at him. Do you know how much I spent on that skateboard? Okay, so that is a moment of trauma that almost all of us in one way or another have experienced. Yeah. What happened in that moment though is fascinating. He created a set of beliefs about who he is and what life is in that moment. He also had a bunch of emotions that he wasn't able to express, so he repressed them. And then he created a bunch of coping mechanisms to make sure he never goes anywhere near that kind of an emotion again. Mm-hmm. And that is now running his life. So let's just kind of unpack that a little bit. Imagine that it's now 20 years later. He's about 30 years old and he meets the love of his life and he is terrified, terrified. He can't figure out why. He doesn't understand it. He can't commit to her. In fact, he's almost on the verge of breaking up when he should be asking her to marry him. What's happened is that moment with the dog created a belief that if I'm in bliss, I could die. That's the belief. Do you see it? Mm-hmm. That's the belief. That belief is now running the show and he doesn't know it. And so now he's in love, which is very similar to that moment of bliss. And he is now terrified because he could die. And there's no understanding or reason why. So all of that is now contributing to his life. Another belief might be that things are more important than him because his mom was more concerned about the skateboard than he was about him. That's the belief, right? That would have happened. So now he's buying all this stuff to fill that void. He doesn't understand why he has this need to own the latest, most expensive thing. And yet he keeps doing it, not understanding. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
This is what many of us are doing. We're running around in our life with this deeply repressed stuff that when we just allow ourselves to access it, but not the memory, The memory isn't important, but the repressed emotion is what's important. That's what my system of healing does, is it goes in and allows these little parts of us that got confused, that came up with warped and crazy coping mechanisms and conclusions about who we are and what life is, and we just let them unwind it as it should have been. It creates this powerful healing frequency that changes the now.
So how do you do that without accessing the memory? You're accessing the emotion. Can you give us an idea of what
Would you like to experience a spontaneous transformation session?
Okay, sure.
Then you'll totally understand it. Would that work?
Okay, sure. Sure, I
so it takes about 10 minutes.
10 minutes, I think okay.
We have time, don't we?
We have time.
Excellent, okay. So would you be willing to be the person that to do a session with me? Are you okay with that?
Yes, I should. Okay, here we go. Anything that, reminds me of work. Here we go.
Great. All right. So everyone that's listening can follow along. So whatever question I'm asking Dr. Stacy, that you guys can do that as well. It's Stacy, right? Dr. Stacy.
Yes. I got that, you can just call me Stacy now.
Stacy. Okay. So whatever step I take Stacy through, you can do it for yourself. Okay. So everyone's going to get a session right now. Okay. So think of something that was upsetting in your life recently that you kind of overreacted to. You knew in the moment, like, I am way overreacting here. Can you think of something that may have happened recently?
Mm-hmm. Let me think.
I know you're extremely healthy and evolved, but maybe you have to go back in time.
Does it have to be something major, or it could be?
No. Like... It doesn't have to be major. It could be as minor as the internet went out and you freaked out.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what it is?
You can, if you want to share.
Okay. Well, it's a parenting thing. So I'll share.
Okay. It's a parenting thing.
I'll be honest, today I was, in a bit of a rush, had a bit of a headache, waiting for my son to come upstairs in the school. He's in a small school. I'm with my daughter. And it's the kind of thing where you have to like go around a circle. There's no way of finding, like, I'm like, I'll meet you upstairs. So I thought he was just going to go to his jacket. I'm like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I got to go. Like, where is this kid? Going to find him. And then was probably a little too hard to me. It's like, what were you doing?
Right.
There you go.
Okay. Very, very good. Okay. So put yourself back in that. And the rest of you, I mean, this is definitely a parenting show. So that's a great thing. Think about a time when you may have been frustrated with your kids. That's perfectly okay. And notice sometimes that you may have even overreacted. Mm-hmm. That means that there's something in the unconscious that got triggered. One of these trauma moments from the past got triggered up, and that reaction is bigger then. So what is, if you were to identify, Stacy, what the emotion was, and emotions are things like sadness, fear, anger, that kind of thing. What was the emotion that was present as you were experiencing that?
Probably most frustration.
Good. So allow yourself to notice the frustration, and the rest of you notice the emotion that was present. It might be anger, fear, frustration. These are all appropriate. So now you're going to just ask, where is that in your physical body? You're going to let your body show you. Where is that emotion, that frustration in your case, held in your body? I'm going to take a few notes. It's when I'm channeling this work, sometimes I forget the words. So where would that frustration be?
I'm taking myself back to that moment. So I'm going to just put myself back in school.
And feel the frustration. And where is that frustration in your body?
A slight headache.
Okay, so we're going to bring our attention into that area. So this is your head. Mm-hmm. Good. And the rest of you can do the same thing. Where is it in your body? And some of you might think it's more than one place, but there's one place in particular that is like kind of pulsing with that emotion. Bring your energy to that place. Mm-hmm. So before we go into that area, we're actually going to go into that area. And this is kind of pretend a little bit. So just pretend and play with this. A lot of this is metaphor that allows the mind to release. Just pretend with me right now that you are embodying an observer energy. So an observer is someone who is detached, who doesn't need conditions in order to be happy or anything, who doesn't require their son to show up. They're just detached. They're in the present moment. They're in that neutral now. So just pretend right now, Stacy, that you can embody that beautiful, total, detached, present, neutral, clear, calm observer. What would that feel like if you were in that? There you go. You're in it. That's very good. You did that really fast. What's that like to be the observer in this moment, to be that neutral, detached observer?
It's calm and laughing at myself.
Good, right? It's perfect, right? So honestly, the opportunity is for us to be the observer as often as possible. Mm-hmm. And so we're playing with it now. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be the observer as we move now into this area of our physical body. Okay, where that emotion, that upsetting emotion is. Mm-hmm. So that allows us to be detached from the emotion. Okay, so mm-hmm. move your attention now into your head as this calm observer. This mm-hmm. You're kind of a giggly observer. Mm-hmm. Good. And so as you get in there, you can feel that this energy of frustration is pulsing in your head. Does that feel true?
Yes.
Good. And so there's a center point of that. And as you get closer, you see that there's a little Stacy there, a younger version of you. She's likely somewhere between 0 and 9 years old. And she is frustrated. Is that true?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's okay if it takes a minute. This is brand new to you. So as you approach her as this observer that's completely self-contained and calm, she sees almost like a guardian angel because she hasn't had a lot of adults in her life that have been so neutral and contained and calm and peaceful. Is that true?
She's had one.
Okay, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. So she sees someone that's kind of special. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And so as she is present with this observer that is you, you as the observer say to her, this younger version of you, and the rest of you are doing this too, I'm here and I'm present and I'm not leaving you. That's it. I'm here and I'm present and I'm staying right here with you. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah, it was a nice shift that just happened there. That's it. That's it. And now you just tell her that at the age she's at, something happened that created frustration, and she maybe wasn't able to express all the emotions at that moment because it either wouldn't have been safe, may have been dangerous, or maybe it wouldn't have mattered. So does that feel true?
Yeah.
Good. So we're going to just, first of all, say thank you. Thank you for repressing the emotion in that moment because that helped you to survive. So thank you. That was a really smart and sound tactic. And all of you are hopefully doing this and saying this to your little one. Thank you for repressing that emotion. But you have created this moment here right now. There's no accidents. All of us are here together in this moment. Our little ones have brought forward this moment, and this is a super safe space. Does that feel true?
Yes.
And so it's as if they're very protected. They're in kind of the cone of silence, if you will. There's protective barriers around them, and they are in a very, very safe space right now. That's it. And so as the observer now, just notice that you are detached still. And by the way, that detachment, you being the observer in this moment, allows them to really be them, to feel safe being them. Does that feel true?
Absolutely.
Excellent. And so now we're going to encourage them to really express the emotion, to actually give voice to that which couldn't have been voiced previously, to actually fully feel it and express it. So how is she expressing this frustration? And there might be other emotions present too.
How is she expressing the frustration? She's raising her voice and...
Good.
You know, maybe there's just an agitated movement in her body.
Good. That's right. And that is correct. That is actually the correct response to the situation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's as it should be. Of course she would feel that way. Of course she'd raise a voice. Of course she'd be agitated in her body. That is absolutely right. That's it. And so she has full permission to now feel all of that, to express it fully. And we are not asking her to change, by the way. She doesn't have to change. And if she remembers the memory that's associated with it, the memory is not as important. she can give a nod to it, but really the most important thing is to finally kind of crack open that emotion that didn't get expressed before. That's it. Oh, something's happening now. So what's happening with her now?
She's just kind of chilled. Like she just...
Okay. So let's just allow her to really move into... Now, what's happening here, Stacey, this is really cool, is that chill is a coping mechanism. Do you recognize it? This is one of your coping mechanisms. You find chill. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's biased towards that.
Yes, understood. And I want you to understand that she's actually avoiding the emotion, which is really okay and understandable because you're doing this on the air in front of, you know, tons of people. So it's understandable. Mm-hmm. But let's just pretend right now that you are the full observer and you are completely detached and she gets to be the emotion. She gets to fully feel it and express it and she gets to go deep into the upset. Seriously. I know that sounds weird. And again, that's very different than many new age thought things, which is don't do that because you're going to blah, blah, blah. This is a healing technique that when you actually give them absolute permission and they take on that, there we go. And they start to really express the upset, There's a healing that actually happens that will be palpable. That's the word. There we go. So what's happening now with her?
Well, she's pushing back.
Good. And of course she would push back. This is good. She gets to push back. Yes, that is good. And for the rest of you, just whatever they're doing is perfect. Just validate it. Of course they would do that. Of course she's pushing back. That's right. And again, she has permission, but she doesn't require permission. She can do whatever the heck she wants. This is her time, her space. And she gets to just express and feel. There we go. There's a healing pulse happening now, even as she just considers it. Does that feel true?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even feel that nagging throbbing at the base of my head. It's gone.
That's right. So just a simple act of allowing them to feel. Now, the other thing that happens in these moments, when we allow these little parts of us, the parts of us that actually experienced trauma, what happens is that what also got repressed in those moments is our light and our power. So even though the emotion got repressed, a part of our light and power also got repressed. So when we allow these little beings to fully express the emotion, what also gets released and ignited and reintegrated is our light and power. So right now she's noticing that there is light and power moving into her field of being, and that's happening for everyone. Does that feel like that could be true?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this light and power is now filling the space and is starting to be bigger than the frustration. Does that feel true?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And there's a powerful pulse, healing pulse here right now. I'm just going to put my hands into it and support you and everyone even more. It's really powerful when we do this as a group. There we go. And so now, as she starts to reintegrate this light and power, she starts to remember and recognize who she is as this light and power. And she starts to almost stand in a different posture. Does that feel true?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Good. And as she stands in this new posture, it's as if her chakras align and the chakras are the energy field centers that are, there's seven of them, starting with the brow, the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, the abdomen, and the generative organs. These are the different chakras, and they kind of line up and light up. These chakras also support the endocrine system, which supports the hormones, which support the emotions, and everything starts to get more balanced. And there's this beautiful thing called the toroidal field that comes out of the heart when all the chakras are balanced, that creates almost like this centrifugal force that keeps her in a powerful stance. Does that feel like that could be true?
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely, good. Yeah.
And now she's rippling out this power. It's filling if her universe was a ball of energy, like a huge ball, like the size of a football field, this ball is now has more space in it. It's inflated fully, and it's filled with this vibration of her light and power. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
That's it. And now rippling off of her past the boundaries of her universe into the world itself is this light and power. Does that feel like that can be true?
Yes.
And it's influencing people and circumstances. It's influencing them to be a match to her light and power. So she's attracting people now that are a match to this. Does that feel like that could be true?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Good. And so in this moment, we're going to ask her a question around all of it, around what happened with you and your son and the frustration and the meeting her and allowing her to express this emotion, and around the power and light that just came in as well, around all of that. Let's ask her, what is it that she needs now? And she's going to tell you. You don't have to use your mind for it. She will reveal to you what she needs now around all of this. What does she need now?
Space.
Good. Excellent. And the rest of you hopefully got that as well. And we're going to ask her, what would it look like if that need were fully expressed? What would it feel like? Ask her to show you what it's like to have space. And for the rest of you, ask your little one to reveal to you what that need would be like if it were fully expressed. So in your case, Stacy, you're going to ask, what does space feel like? Can you show me what space feel like? And again, you don't have to figure this out. She's going to show you. What's space like?
No pressure or expectations.
Okay. And what's that like? What's that feel like? What's the sensation of it? What thoughts are present? What emotions
joyful
are present? Joyful.
Dancing.
Joyful dancing. Did you say dancing?
Yeah.
Beautiful. And just feel that now. Feel that energy, that joyful dancing energy. That's it right there. Good. And feel it as if it's pulsing through, as if it's creating a phase shift in your whole universe, in that ball of you that is your universe. That's it. And you may notice this, but it's almost as if there's more space around you. Does that feel true?
Yes.
And that space, of course, we know from quantum physics that space also has time. It's time and space, right? So you've just created more time. What if that were true? What do you think that would feel like?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Right? Just so allow yourself to feel that right now. Feel that. That's it. That's it. Beautiful. Good. And so when you're ready, open your eyes. And open your eyes into this new energy of joyful dancing. That's it. And so what you just created there is actually a new neural pathway. You created a new vibrational energy stream in your field of being. I know that's kind of woo-woo talk, but what that means is that you now have this place that you can go back and access again and again and again. And one of the things that I recommend is, I call it going to the neural pathway gym. And what that is there's a tendency, a habit that you've created from that moment of trauma that happened a long time ago that got repressed, that has been running the show, created habitual ways of dealing. Mm-hmm. One of yours is, I'm going to chill.
I'm going to force the chill.
I'm just going to force right the chill.
So true. Oh my gosh.
And so now, when that happens again, if you're in that moment, and or you're forcing the chill, you could use it as a point of resistance that is now a point of access. Okay. Mm-hmm. So instead of going, oh my God, I'm here again. I can't believe I'm here again. I've worked so hard on this. Instead of doing that, you can say, oh, it's here to reveal another layer of healing. Mm-hmm. It's here to show me the next piece. It's here to remind me to move back into joyful dancing. And now we have a whole new frame of reference for our life, because now these things, neural pathway gym, right? You go to the gym, you push against weights to strengthen. Now you're pushing against a moment of resistance to strengthen this new neural pathway that you've just created. Like, we don't go to a gym and start yelling at the weights. How dare you? I've worked with you before. right? We don't do that.
Yeah.
So then we can look at the points of resistance in our life as just that. Mm-hmm. Something that's here to reveal to us what's next, the next state of evolution, the next healing.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you for that. I look forward to seeing how that unfolds the next time in that position, which could be, you know, a couple hours from now.
It could be. Most of our habits are pretty consistent.
Yeah. But you know, what you're doing very effectively, as you know, I'm going to put my psychologist brain on right now, is getting beyond the words and getting at the way we actually processed it back then.
Exactly. Right? Like, exactly.
And very powerful, very powerful.
Thank you.
Thank you for demonstrating that.
Oh, of course, of course. It actually detours. You can notice now in hindsight that this detoured around the mind, because the mind will actually do everything it can to stop you from going back there, because it's holding those emotions. Those repressed emotions are, we are protected from those emotions. So our subconscious doesn't want us to go back there. But when we do it in this way, it's so gentle. It's kind of fun. It's super honoring of the parts of us that really did experience trauma and upset, and allows them to finally deal with it. And honestly, I came by this because I trained for healing for many, many years as a vibrational healer.
Okay.
And I kept watching these healing sessions where people were being re-traumatized because they were going back into the memory. And I'm like, no, that's not it. That's not right. So I just started playing with it myself, because I used to be extremely reactionary. So I used my reactions, like I said, as a point of access now. And slowly but surely over time, and in some instances, it's grace. And there's this huge release and let go and miracle that changes everything. And I've witnessed that too. But for most of us, it is a beautiful unfolding. It's a process. Mm-hmm. We don't want to yell at us to get better. We don't yell at the flower to unfurl. We allow and appreciate the flower unfurling. And to me, that's what our unfurling as a soul is on this planet at this time.
So when, you know, my observation, also working with people who are going through the worst times of their lives, is that the consciousness is so like there, like, everything is being churned up, and there's so much opportunity at that point to, it's just there to deal with it and actually do that evolutionary kind of work. And you agree. Yes?
Absolutely. In fact, many of the people that are watching this show have attracted this moment between you and I. I believe there's a co-creation between all of us, and that they have actually asked, their soul has asked our souls to get together right here and play with each other to support them in an evolution. But they are in the co-creation of it. They are creating this moment. And I think that what's happening on the planet as a whole, the same thing is happening, that we are being asked to wake up.
Yes.
And it's not, and all the different speakers on this summit that you've got are all offering amazing and different ways to wake up. Mine's just one of probably dozens of people that you're going to be talking to about this. And there's a reason why you can have a summit and have dozens of people talking about this and things that actually work. And you've probably noticed that many of them happen within 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
Most of these new healing modalities, new way of seeing the world, happen fast. There's a reason for that. All of us have co-created this together.
Well, you know what? I have to say that absolutely, yes, that there is, I agree with you, that all the turmoil that's happening, like what I was talking about before, about the challenge and how the consciousness rises, this is what has been happening over the past few years on a global scale. Yes. And I would say that all the people who've come to this summit, I've been so honored and pleasantly, I don't know if I should say surprised, but it's just nice. I've never met these people before. And they're so heartfelt. They're so mission driven. And they have been called. You get the sense that they've been called. And there's something that is bigger than them that's drawing them to do this.
Not only have the speakers been called, but everyone who's watching has been called.
You've absolutely
been called. All of us are being called. And the coolest practice that I do daily is to say yes. to say yes to the calling, no matter what it is. And sometimes it's wacky. Like, you want me to what now? Like, you know, the things present themselves and it's like, okay, let's give it a shot. See what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm being called into a whole new ways of doing my life and my business that I never even imagined. I'm writing a musical. I'm writing fiction. I'm writing a fictional series. Like, who ever thought in a million years that I would do something like that? And yet, so for you and for others that are listening right now, when you start doing spontaneous transformation and in using the moment of upset to change the dynamic of it and heal it, you're going to be hearing the whispers of your soul. That's the only way I can describe it. Yes. You're going to be receiving intuitive impulses. And those impulses may not make sense at first, but as you start to unfold through it and it keeps presenting itself and you start following the breadcrumbs of those impulses, I call them the I am pulse, the I am pulse. When you follow those, they will reveal an expansion. They will feel a destiny that you never imagined possible. Mm-hmm. And it happens as we start clearing out this unconscious material. I think that's where we're at as humanity right now. I think we are at a point when we are being asked to finally be us, be thoroughly, completely us. The things that happen to us, those stories, those traumas, they are not us. They're just things that happened to us that made some weird conclusions. And when we can start clearing those up, man, we can create a world and a life for our children that is very different. I know that this is about, there's a lot of parents that are here, and I want to share that one of the most important things that I've helped many, many people, parents through, is that they want me to work with their kids. And I say, I'd rather work with you to start. Because when we heal, when we access this unconscious and release this unconscious material, our relationship, everything, you know, when we saw how the ripple happened through our universe and past our universe, it impacts everyone in our field of being. Everyone, including our children, get change. They change because we've changed.
I hear you. I mean, you and I need to just chat after. Because what you just described has been my path over the past little while. And just so people know, I mean, chances are none of you people have ever heard of me, but I will reveal that just this summer, before I knew I was doing this summit, or was asked to do it, I had done a little ceremony with some friends and people who came. We did some yoga. We honored the new moon. And I wrote on a rock we got from the lake, my big voice for big impact together with other big voices. And here we are.
Oh my God, I'm getting chills. Okay, so that is a perfect example of the impulse coming through. Mm-hmm. The impulse came through and you were in a place where you could hear it. And you could hear it in part because of some of the things you've been going through for the last 2 years. Yes. All the healings and the changes and the openings that you've had allowed you to have that moment to get the impulse that opened up the field of being to say, oh, I'm claiming what's coming towards me. And I'm also creating what's coming toward me by claiming it. Both of those things are happening at the same time.
How did you know it was past 2 years?
I think you might've said 2 years.
Did I?
But I'm also really psychic, so.
Okay. Because it was. Okay. Now you're really freaking me out.
No, I'm pretty sure you said 2 years. I don't think I can.
I'm going to watch the tape.
Psychic abilities.
Okay. So, you know, this has been really, I mean, thank you for that. I mean, I literally feel different.
Yeah.
And when you were walking me through, I will just reveal that at one point, as my posture was straightening, I felt like this little band of tension, my right side of my middle back. And then I sat up a little bit more and it kind of just dissipated and it hasn't come back.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yep. It's really powerful. It's so subtle yet so powerful.
Yes. So tell me, there's other things that you've had on your site that I really need to ask you about.
Sure.
Because this whole idea of co-creation and energy and some of the things you just mentioned, one of the things that you've done also is prayer, mobilizing prayer.
Yeah.
And there's so many people, so many traditions all around the world who engage in prayer. And, you know, I think there's probably an art and a science to prayer. What's your understanding of it? What's been your experience of it? Because you bring thousands of people together in prayer. Yeah. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, I started a Pro Circle in 2011, I was guided. It was January the 8th, 2011, and it was 11-11 year. I mean, I was really focused on 11-11. 11 is a number that shows up for me a lot. It might for some of your viewers to me. To me, it just means, yep, you're on the right track. Okay. And so when we're in an 11 year, I'm like, this is going to be a special year. And so it's January the 8th, and I was in a meditation, and I got an impulse, just like you did. And the impulse said, start a prayer circle, but it has to be on the 11th. And I didn't know why. So I just like scrambled, pulled this thing together. I had a pretty large following. So I was able to pull something together really fast, announce it. And I got immediately 5,000 people into this. And over the course of the year, there was over 11,000 people that joined in 2011. And we would get together on the 11th day of the 11th year to pray. And eventually what I heard between the 8th and the 11th when it actually happened is, for the first 31 years of a new century, the days match the year, the 30 years. So the day matches the year. And so just for me, for my impulse, what I heard was this idea that on the day that matches the years for this first 30 years, it's a portal day for prayer. That's what I heard. And again, just getting back to tying that into the story of listening to the impulses, and it sounded pretty wacky to me. And I'm like, all right. I had done lots of prayer before, but when I did it on these days, it was really powerful. I could tell that it was different. And so how I do prayer is I call it a prayer of appreciation. So my prayer goes something like, I honor the light, the nudges, the universal 2x4s that are showing up, nudging me to an expansion that might not be possible without it. I guide people to a place where they have more opening, kind of like where the SDT went first. And then in that opening, they put on their glasses of divinity and see the people that they're praying through how God would see them. Now, God sees us as perfectly imperfect. Perfectly flawed. God does not, or source, whatever you want to call it, does not see us as anything other than perfection in every thought, word, and deed, no matter what it is, because all of it is a pathway to evolution. And so when I pray with that intention that what we see before us is an individual who is perfect, who's on an amazing soul adventure, whose circumstances right now are contributing to a transition, a transformation that is required at behest of the very soul itself. That there is only love showing up, nudging us in its different hues and densities to an expansion. And so when we look at it, when we look at another soul that way and we see their brilliant light, that everybody on this planet comes with light. When we see their light, and again, if this is too woo-woo, just look at it as a metaphor. Honest to God, at the end of the day, all of this is metaphor that allows our mind, which is the creative force in our universe, to just go, oh yeah, that feels good. So just use it as metaphor that before us is a soul that is suffering and pain, yes, maybe, and maybe even experience tragedy. And yet we also see at the same time, we see their brilliance. We see that they are a brilliant being of power and light, and that no problem, there's no person that does not come with the solutions to every problem that they've ever had. And when we see that in another, they see it. They have a chance to see it. To me, that's prayer. To me, when I see the light in another, no matter what they're going through, that's prayer. And of course, I also include as part of my prayer, the human side of it that is experiencing pain and suffering. And I acknowledge that in every time I do, it's happening right now. There's this powerful wave of compassion that comes from all of our souls in aggregate that fills the space and just loves us and honors us. For some, that compassion whispers in our ear, it's going to be okay. For some, the compassion whispers in our ear, they're there. They're there, sweet one. For some, the compassion says, get off your butt. Right? But there's compassion here, and it's actually happening right now for all of us. And when we just notice and acknowledge that there's compassion in our space, it feels different. And to me, that is a way more powerful prayer than begging. Than asking for something, because that's a mind-oriented concept, and the mind doesn't understand these broader concepts. It can't. So the soul does, the heart does, but the mind can't. So when we pray from the heart, we see the brilliance of another and we acknowledge with compassion the pain and upset that is happening through their soul's amazing experiment and adventure. That what if there is nothing broken or wrong? There's only a soul in a state of evolution. What if that's all that's happening? And when we feel that way towards another, they get to experience what we're seeing because we're connected. And they can now change and heal and transform. That's my version of prayer.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Because that is my dream. I'm joining the next circle and I'm spreading this. Absolutely. Because what you've articulated is how I see people and how I dream of a world where everyone sees each other as this amazing, unique beam of light that we need to cherish and support, right? And as opposed to trying to control.
Yes. And sometimes that controlling can be an honest reaction because it's triggering us, right? Yeah. So it's okay. Sure. Again, something that the new thought, not as many people on here are the woo-woo people, but the woo-woo stuff is repress and only be positive, and I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of, you know, that moment that the boy, let's talk about the little boy again, okay? Let's talk about the perfect scenario because this is a parenting conference, okay? So the perfect scenario would have been for the boy to fully express all the emotions. Okay. So he cried when he walked in the door. The mom had to give him 20 minutes, maybe 40, of her undivided attention to just validate as we did to the little ones. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry that happened, sweetheart. And yes, of course you'd be upset. That was really scary. Validate. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have every reason to be scared. Of course you do. And then, you know, gently ask about the skateboard, maybe. It's like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. The skateboard doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. We'll find another one. It's okay, right? Mm-hmm. And even if we have fear about it, we acknowledge our own fear to say, I don't know if I can afford another skateboard. But we just acknowledge that within ourselves and we honor what they're experiencing. And if we want, we could, if the kid's at a stage where they can comprehend, you could say, you know what? You know, I wanted you to keep that skateboard because it took a lot for me to buy it. And so I was a little concerned, but I want you to know that you're way more important than that. You know, like we can have an authentic, real interaction with them. And then the perfect scenario would have been that we get a hold of the neighbor and we allow the neighbor to bring the dog over and they get to know each other. They get to be friends. So he's not afraid of dogs anymore. And so you see how that moment didn't create any of the repressed emotions. So now he doesn't have any conclusions. The conclusion he may have felt in that moment of bliss when he went from bliss until almost dying got completely worked out in the moment so that he didn't have to wake up 30 years later terrified of getting married.
Right. Yeah, so absolutely.
Feel.
Yes.
And that's what we can do for ourselves too. And if we're upset, we can allow ourselves to be upset. I feel angry is sometimes all that's needed instead of repressing and being positive and, or, you know, going super chill.
Super chill. I'm chill. Oh my God.
Instead of that, instead of that, we allow the feeling to come through. And when we do it's not like, it's like minutes, honestly. It's like, that made me really angry. And now for me personally, I'm in a habit of, okay, I'm angry. This is revealing to me something that's ready to unwind and heal. That's it. And I immediately go in and I do an STT with the little one. Spontaneous transformation, I call STT. I immediately go in and honor that little girl and said, yeah, you had a really good reason to be angry. Of course you'd be angry. And allow her to feel it, allow the power to move back into me. And we keep gaining this power because we keep cracking open these emotions, these repressed emotions and expressing them. And then all of a sudden we come to a life where even when something shows up, which it will, that's what life is, we are now in a state of such grace that we go, huh, that's fascinating. And and some of you will move into a time when you're noticing that you're not reacting and you should be because you always have. You're going to go, wow, I'm actually not feeling upset about this. That happened to me a couple of years ago. I'm like, I'm not reacting the way I used to. I'm not feeling upset about this. And that's what, and then that creates a whole different framework that actually becomes a creative source for manifesting a different kind of life, even creating a whole different relationship with your children.
Yeah. And your own neurology, because what you're talking about is repeating
neural pathways.
The same pattern, right?
That's right. Complete new neural pathways. The old patterns of belief disintegrate, dissolve. Yeah. The new patterns of belief in for you is joyful dancing. That's a new pattern of belief that's available to you right now. Just think about joyful dancing right now. The rest of you who are listening, think about that new energy that you just created, and you can tap right in, can't you?
It's absolutely
right. It's right there. It's real. You can't not know that anymore.
Yes, because we're experiencing it at a deeper level, much deeper level.
And I call it shining the light of conscious awakened attention on it. That creates in itself this self-fulfilling cycle. We notice it, and in the noticing it grows, and we notice the growth, and in the noticing of the growth it grows.
I had to write that down because that's brilliant. Okay, Jennifer, this has been more than just for people to know. I had no idea we were going to do this today. Thank you for inviting me into that experience.
Of course.
It was very illustrative for everyone involved. And, you know, I had some questions to ask you, and you've already shared so much. I guess what I wonder about, I'm just going to ask you two to enter our time here today. Okay. One is, if there was one thing that our viewers could action today that you think would make the most difference for themselves and for their families, what would it be?
Well, I would say two things. One is feel your feelings, truly. Allow your feelings to be expressed. And by the way, that's not, feel your feelings isn't sitting down with your husband and telling them what's wrong with them, by the way. Feeling your feelings is a personal experience of just taking ownership of, I'm angry right now. It's not telling anyone else. It's just owning it. And the second thing is to do something with that. Do a spontaneous transformation technique. You've got it now. You can listen to it here. You can go to the link in my, I think you're giving them a link.
Yeah, you can mention the link though. Please just go ahead and mention it. They'll get it, but you can mention it again.
I actually can't remember what the link is.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. But regardless, you're going to get something that's free that will allow you to experience the spontaneous transformation technique again, and probably some of my other gifts. I also, I do this thing called the triple healing multiplier, which is the spontaneous transformation technique. I do attunements, which is like Reiki. Some of you may have heard of that. And it attunes you. It actually is an energetic key that unlocks dormant energy. I also do what I call sound vibration acoustical anchoring soul songs. So I do the sound vibration melody that anchors in these new patterns in very powerful ways. So whatever the link is there, go to it and you'll get some of these gifts with me. So that's the second thing. Which is do something with the moment. The moment you acknowledge that you're upset, use it to bring your energy back to the, what you just created here. Use it to do a spontaneous transformation technique or some of the other techniques that you've learned here.
Okay. Thank you for that and for all of those gifts. Amazing. And to end today, could you please just give us your most profound statement?
Okay. A couple of years back, I was almost living in my car. And at that moment, I was terrified. And and I acknowledged the terror. And I used it. And I went inside. And I said, I just said, what the heck? You know, I've worked really hard in my whole life. I was a professional, had a healthy six-figure salary. I quit because I was burnt out. And I tried my hand at a couple of things that failed. And there I was. And I said, what is going on? Please tell me, share with me. I'm open, I'm willing. And what I heard was the inner voice within me said, Jen, you are that which you are seeking. Up till now, you've been going outside of yourself saying, that's the answer over there. They have the answer. That person's going to help me. That person's going to tell me who I am. You've been reaching outward for the answer. You've been reaching for that brass ring out there. And when you get the brass ring, then you'll be happy. Then you'll be accomplished. Then you'll be successful. But what the truth is that you are the brass ring. You are that which you have been seeking. You are the answer. You are the master. You are the power and the glory. You are it. And I would say that to you. And I would say that to everyone in your audience. You are that which you are seeking.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer McLean, thank you so much for joining us today, taking us all through this process with you, sharing all of your guests and everything that you're doing to bring this, to shine this light of awareness throughout the world. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight. I've really enjoyed playing with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you're doing in the world.
Okay, I have to go now. I don't want to go, but I have to. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone.